Any member failed to register his presence. Clerk may take the quorum.
Thirty-two present, 8 absent.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Brown, Fisher, Freeman, Huntington, Kelly are excused from the call of the House today, although I do note that Representative Brown is with us. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Aussie be excused from the call from 3:30 on through the end of the session.
That objection so ordered. Mr. Urien.
That's true. I was treating that motion earlier as facetious, but if Mr. Urien wishes to treat this for real, it's fine.
Please rise for prayer. Our Reverend Hackney, of our own.
Our loving God, when we work with the whereases of our daily public and private lives, and when we come up with the final resolve that we control all power and destiny, then may we remember that you hold the final power to amend. May we each resolve to walk humbly and in the exercise of our power to try our best to do what is right in your sight. Amen.
Mr. Urien.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be adjourned.
That objection so ordered.
Reverend Hackney is $12.
We won't pay Reverend Hackney his $12. Mr. Greening.
Mr. Speaker, I wanted to make that 15. I thought that was a $15 prayer.
A $15 prayer.
Do I hear 40?
Clerk certified the correctness of the previous day's journal.
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 133rd day.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 133rd day.
Without objection, so ordered. Brings us to introduction of guests, or the guests be introduced to the House. Does the Clerk have messages from the Governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
It's been a long time since we had a message from the Governor. The clerk have messages from the other House.
The Senate has passed the following, and they are returned herewith. Committee substitute for House Bill number 393, Finance Assistance to the Aged, Blind, and Disabled, with an effective date. House Bill number 307, amended, disallowing certain credits under the Alaska Net Income Tax, with an effective date. These bills have been sent to enrolling. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have general communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to standing committees.
The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 7, making a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources, cold weather botanist positions, and providing for an effective date under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Malone, Haugen, Greening, Naughton, Duncan, Guy, Itta. Mrs. Buchholz has no recommendation. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 7 appears on today's calendar. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have reports of special committees.
The Conference Committee with Powers of Free Conference, which has had committee substitute for Senate Bill number 76 and House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 76, Finance, Supplemental Appropriation to the University of Alaska, under consideration recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 76 be adopted with a letter of intent. The report was signed by Senate members Rader, Chance, and Tillian. House members Duncan, Sullivan, and H. Byrne.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I move that this body concur in the Free Conference Committee report on Senate Bill 76, and that Free Conference Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 76 be adopted.
Question is, shall the House adopt the Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 76? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Free Conference Committee substitute is adopted. Clerk will so notify the Senate. Clerk, have other special committee reports?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have resolutions for introduction?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Does the clerk have bills for introduction?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to the daily calendar. Clerk, read the first item on the daily calendar.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 30 by Rody, Homan, Orsini, and Willis, relating to proposed regulations to restrict the sale of handgun ammunition. The Committee on Commerce has had Senate Joint Resolution 30 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Kelly, Freeman, Urien, and Smith. The Committee on Judiciary has had Senate Joint Resolution 30 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Brown, Cotton, Bradley, Parr, Eliason, and Specking. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution Number 30 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, Senate Joint Resolution 30 is advanced for second to third reading, placed on final passage. Will the clerk read the resolution for the third and final time?
Senate Joint Resolution Number 30 by Rody, Homan, Orsini, and Willis, relating to proposed regulations to restrict the sale of handgun ammunition.
Resolution is before you for discussion and debate.
Question.
Question is, so Senate Joint Resolution 30 passed the House. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 1 nay, 8 excused.
Senate Joint Resolution 30 has passed the House. Clerk, read the next item on the calendar.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 37 by the Judiciary Committee, relating to serial numbers on outboard motors. The Committee on Judiciary has had Senate Joint Resolution 37 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Parr, Bradley, Cotton, and Brown. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution Number 37 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Without objection, Senate Joint Resolution 37 is advanced for second to third reading, placed on final passage. The clerk read the resolution for the third and final time.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 37 by the Judiciary Committee, relating to serial numbers on outboard motors.
Resolution is before you for discussion and debate. Mr. Urien.
Speaker, I think this resolution is probably fine, although I think it's unfortunate that we don't maybe direct ourselves toward what we call in Anchorage's Operation Theft Guard. It's a program where the police department, and I think they have to be all over, where you create your own number and your motor or whatever, and it's worked out very well. And maybe we could expand that to an earnest statewide program.
So any other discussion?
Question
is, so Senate Joint Resolution 37 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 3 nays, 7 excused.
Senate Joint Resolution 37 has passed the House. Clerk, read the next item on the calendar.
Senate Bill Number 113, amended by Ziegler. An act relating to health care information. The Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services has had Senate Bill 113 amended under consideration. The members of the committee report it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mrs. Sullivan, Chairman, signing Dupass, Sullivan, and Hackney, having no recommendation, Osterback and Parr. The Committee on Judiciary has had Senate Bill 113 amended under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 113 with the same title and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Bradley, Elias, and Specking, Cotton, and Brown. I skipped to the second. I skipped one.
Do you want to go Sorry. On? That objection will go on with this bill.
Mr. Can we Miller, these, Mr. Speaker?
House standard these.
Oh, on this one it was individual recommendation.
House, come to order. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 113 be placed at the bottom of today's calendar.
Without objection, the bill will be considered to have been read in third reading, or in second reading, will be placed at the bottom of the calendar. Clerk, read committee substitute for Senate Bill 7.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 7 by the Resources Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources, cold weather botanist positions, and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 7 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Malone, Haugen, Greening, Naughton, Duncan, Guy, and Itta, having no recommendation, Buchholz. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, unless there are amendments, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 7 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Out of objection, committee substitute for Senate Bill 7 is advanced from second to third reading, placed on final passage. The clerk read the bill for the third and final time.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 7 by the Resources Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources cold weather botanist positions and providing for an effective date.
Bills before you for discussion debate. Mr. Specking. Mrs. Buchholz.
Mr. Speaker, I really don't know. I was. I think this is a program that a new program for the Department of Natural Resources, and it would be a purely experimentation. And what they want to do is try to provide a viable program for these kinds of Arctic vegetation that may be of commercial value.
I think the bill is just trying to mandate some attention in this area and is, of course, of interest to your fellow senator.
I know that the banner on
the question is, shall substitute for Senate Bill 7 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 2 nays, 8 excused.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 7 has passed the House. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the roll call on committee substitute for Senate Bill 7 be considered the roll call on effective date clause.
That objection. Effective date clause is adopted. Clerk, read the next bill on the calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 208 amended by the State Affairs Committee, an act providing for the appointment of registration officials for elections. The Committee on State Affairs is at committee substitute for Senate Bill 208 amended under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, McKinnon, M. Byrne, and Parker. I have two amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, read the First Amendment.
I'll tear this one down. Amendment number one by the State Affairs Committee. Page one, line 18. Insert text of Committee Substitute for House Bill 300, Finance.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the State Affairs Committee Amendment number one be adopted.
Objections noted. Chair would inquire whether that is correct. Would it be Committee Substitute for House Bill 300, Finance? It just says House Bill 300, Finance, which...
I think you're right, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Parker.
I'd say you're right.
We'll add, it does, yeah, it reads correctly. Committee Substitute for House Bill 300. Mr. Parker.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 300 was at the request of the governor, in my procrastinating ways, I originally decided not to handle that bill until next year because there's not a state election between now and then, but the Lieutenant Governor pointed out to me that several changes they need to, in order to get ready for next year, would need to be started this summer. So State Affairs passed that bill out on the 25th of April. The recommendations were do pass Wallace, Miller, Parker, and McKinnon, no rec, Helen Byrne, do not pass Mike Byrne and Helen Fisher. It went to Finance, where it got out, I think, the day before yesterday, and that page is not in the journal yet, so I don't know what the recommendation was. Generally, I can tell you that the bill is simply a cleanup of the election code suggested by the Lieutenant Governor. I don't think there's anything controversial in it, with the exception of the open primary was attempted to be changed to sort of a half step to a closed primary by State Affairs, but that was taken out in Finance yesterday. So where we wind up now is the only way to get the Lieutenant Governor's cleanup bill, the election code, through this legislature, assuming it's going to end today, is to tack it on to the Senate bill. The Senate has no objection to that, and urge you to adopt the amendment.
Mr. Speckin.
Mr. Speaker, may we be assured that there have been no really substantive changes from the addition that the governor, the lieutenant governor, submitted?
Mr. Parker.
You have my word.
Mr. Parker, could I inquire, has this committee substitute by Finance, has it been reported out? Is it an official committee substitute?
Mr. Speaker, it is. It in the book up on the desk there, the clerk showed it would be in page 1544 of the journal, but my journal doesn't have page 1544 yet, so I assume it's being printed.
As long as it's an official version that we're referring to, we'll be correct. Question, Mr. Miller.
I was just going to further to Mr. Speckin's question. I think the no recs and the do not pass recommendations in our committee was due to Mr. Parker and I's attempt to get the substantial change in the primary election. And so, as he says now, it's right back to what the governor wanted originally.
Mr. Eliason.
Speaker, in other words, we're pulling this bill out of committee and putting on this one on before us.
With the consent of the chairman. Question is, shall amendment number one be adopted? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Amendment number one is adopted. Clerk, read amendment number two.
Amendment number two by Mr. McKinnon. Page one, line 15. Delete with his family. Line 17. Delete, but any person who, having a family, establishes a dwelling place other than with his family, with the intention of remaining there and not returning to his family, shall be considered a resident where he has established that dwelling place.
Mr. McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment 2.
Objections noted.
That references to the Finance Committee substitute, which is in your bill book. The page and line number.
Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 300.
Speaker, could we have any of these?
House will stand at ease. House come back to order. We were in second reading on committee substitute for Senate Bill 208. We're on Mr. McKinnon's amendment number two. Mr. McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, this is language that part of it was in the original bill and part was added by the State Affairs Committee. And although I understand we're not supposed to make reference to the other body, I have conferred with several senators there, including the prime sponsor of the Senate bill under consideration, and they do have a problem with this language, and it is the major problem they have with the House bill that we're tacking on. I think deleting this language would remove the major obstacle to having the Senate concur with us.
Mr. Urien. The clerk read the amendment again.
Page 1, line 15. Delete with his family. Line 17, delete, but any person who, having a family, establishes a dwelling place other than with his family, with the intention of remaining there and not returning to his family, shall be considered a resident where he has established that dwelling place.
Mr. Speckin. Mr. Parker.
Mr. Speaker, it's getting fairly confusing, but with the amendment offered by Mr. McKinnon, the language would now read, if a person resides in one place but does business in some other, the former is his place of residence. The problem that we're trying to address is that because of this, there's a court ruling that says we can only require 30 days for residence for voting purposes in the state. It could be that people who come here, say, to work on the pipeline or something like that, to realize the 30-day trick, could vote in an election in this state when they're actually living and maintaining a home and a family and everything else somewhere else, even outside. So the purpose of this, the intent of this amendment is to say that if a person obviously lives somewhere else but is trying to claim his working residence as a place to vote, that the state will count where he lives as his true residence. And we've gone on further to add down the line, temporary construction camps do not constitute a dwelling place. It's really aimed at what is used occasionally and could, especially in the rural districts along the pipeline route, be a real situation and a real problem situation in which a large number of guys at the camp figured out the 30-day trick and technically, I guess, could even run one of them and change the outcome of the election.
Question is, shall amendment number two be adopted? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Amendment number two is adopted. Clerk, have other amendments.
Amendment number three by M. Byrne. Page 9. Line 22 of Committee Substitute for House Bill 300, Finance. After statements, insert and ages.
Mr. Byrne.
I'll move that unanimous consent that that amendment be adopted.
Objection.
Mr. Speaker, the amendment requires that the age of a person be published in the election pamphlet. That's on page 9 of that Bill 300. We're requiring that a statement photographs and statement of the candidates be given, and I'm asking that the ages of the candidate also be stated. I think that's important to state a person's age. In the committee, I voted do not pass on this bill because it did contain that primary question. Well, that's been removed by the Finance Committee, which was good. So we're back to the original bill. And I think the bill is good, and I'm going to vote for the bill. But I sure would like to get the ages of the person in there. You can't tell a person's age by a picture. And you cannot, for example, like Mr. Flavin was only, when we confirmed him, he's 30 years of age, which is pretty young for the tremendous responsibilities of that job he has. And that was the only reason that I voted against Mr. Flavin, was because he was 30, and I'd just as soon have someone with a few more years of experience on that job. But his track record is good. I think the public has a right to know how old a person is, and that's what we call freedom of information. The public has a right not to be deceived, and if you put a picture of a person in there that's, we'll say, maybe only 20 years of age, the picture might suggest that a person was 30 or even 40 years of age. It's just impossible to tell from a picture how old a person is. And I think the public should know that. If we don't publish the age, then what we're doing is, as I see it, is deliberately trying to deceive the public, trying to fool the public. And that's wrong. We should give the public all the information. And age is just something else we should give them. It's even more important than the picture. I don't know what good a picture does, really. The age is what the public really wants to know.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, in a sense, I agree. I don't know what a picture does myself. It's all right. I have no objection to it being in there. But I've never thought that was one of the really great parts of the campaign pamphlet. But I think I would feel an objection to including the age, not in the area that the previous speaker addressed himself to, of the very young. Because, matter of fact, with the pictures in there, I think they're pretty readily identified. But I think there is in this country, Mr. Speaker, a slight tendency to prejudice ourselves against the old. As we well know, if we stop to think about it, older people can function, particularly in the political arena, extremely well. Indeed, these are, some of their best years when people get up and experience is part of the name of the game in here. But you see on a campaign pamphlet that somebody's over whatever we consider over the hill, and I think that sets up a prejudice that I just don't care to be a part of. So for the purposes of eliminating the possibility of prejudice against the old, I think I oppose this amendment.
Mr. Brown.
Speaker, I was just wondering if maybe we should be consistent and also include the party's height and weight, color of hair, and everything else.
Any other discussion? Mrs. Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, through the chair, I'd like to ask my seatmate here if the age would be shown in years or by birth date. I'm almost 6 months older than Mr. Cotton, and I'd like that to be reflected in the book for the voters in our district.
Mr. Bowman.
I don't have too much of a problem with this, Mr. Speaker, except that maturity doesn't have too much to do with age, at least chronological age. And on that basis, while some of us may be over the hill chronologically, we never even got to the top of the hill mentally. So I can't see where age has that much of a bearing on whether a person will make a good legislator or not.
Question is, shall Amendment Number 3 pass the House? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Amendment fails. Proper motion, Mr. Byrne, is to appeal the ruling of the chair. Mr. Urien.
Proper motion would be to rescind our action on failing to adopt and call for a roll call vote.
You could do either.
The motion's made.
Would you make the motion formally?
I just did, Mr. Speaker.
It didn't sound in a very
formal
context.
I move that we rescind our action in failing to adopt the amendment and call for a roll call vote.
Do you have eight hands? I see several up back there. We'll have a roll call vote. The motion is to rescind our action adopting Amendment Number 3. The members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Eleven yeas, 23 nays, four excused.
Amendment has failed. Mr. Miller.
Congratulate the Speaker on his ears, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, I'll move, unless there are further amendments, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 208 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute for Senate Bill 208 is advanced to second to third reading, placed in final passage. Will the clerk read the bill for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 208 amended by the House, by the State Affairs Committee, an act providing for the appointment of registration officials for elections.
Bills before you for discussion debate. Question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 208 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may close the roll. Has any member wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
Thirty-four yeas, no nays, six excused.
Bill has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sorry, I put my other bill back. Did we add an effective date when we made that amendment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Clerk, read the next item on the calendar.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 343 by Croft, an act relating to wildlife photography. The Committee on Resources has had sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 343 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Anderson, Chairman, concurred in by Anderson, Rode, Osterbach, Brown, Swanson, Smith, Eliason, and Huntington. Hershberger signed do not pass. The Committee on Finance has had sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 343 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Duncan Cooper, Greening Guy, and Buchholz. It assigned no recommendation. I have two amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, read the First Amendment.
Amendment number one by Mr. Parker. Page 2, line 23. After section, add, such regulations shall exclude any photographs taken in the legislative lounge for the latch string or the latch string during the time the legislature is in session.
Rule the motion out of order. Clerk, have another amendment.
Amendment number one by Mr. Urien. Page 2, lines 15 and 16. delete sentence that starts with no person and ends with calendar year. Page 2, lines 18 and 19. After the first that, delete, he has not harvested that species of animal during the same calendar year and that.
Mr. Urien.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objection is noted. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, the purpose of this bill, as it's stated here, is to broaden the appreciation of our resources and to encourage other necessary public use of wildlife in addition to their legitimate harvest. And I also, the taking of pictures, I can't see that a picture would be depreciated in value because the person is a hunter. Now, this is a state of many hunters. And I just don't think the wording in there that says that a person can't enter this contest if he's hunted during that same calendar year should be included. I think it's wrong. I don't think we want to necessarily discourage hunters hunting.
Mr. Bowman.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not too familiar with this bill, but I think the purpose behind it is to stress the fact that people getting out in the wilderness and taking pictures of wildlife are a different type of person from one who goes out collecting game or trophies of game. And on that basis, there should be something to commemorate this person if they get a very good picture, whereas a hunter is going out, the picture is not first, the animal is, the picture might be secondary or even not even included in his ideas in the first place. And I think the thrust of this bill is to encourage people to, when they're out, to take pictures of wildlife instead of going out killing game.
Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, under the wording in this bill, a person could have been moose hunting and harvested a moose during the regular moose season, and then sometime in the wintertime when he's out in the wilds with his camera, when moose season is over, and takes a picture of a moose, that picture is not eligible for this contest.
That's right.
Because he had, in the same calendar year, shot a moose or harvested a moose. And I don't see any connection between the two.
Mr. Miller.
I think, Mr. Speaker, the problem probably is that one of enforcement. If he took the picture first and then shot the moose, maybe after a $1,000 a day or a week guide had flown him in and set up everything as they would do in one thing or another, there wouldn't be any way of knowing, of enforcing the fact that he hadn't done it on the same trip, and that virtually the whole thing was really set up by this guide anyway. So the only way of enforcing it, since moose tags and one thing or another are a matter of public record, the only practical way, if we're going to go into this, is to say that during that season, the guy hasn't harvested anything. Now, of course, bear in mind, this is entirely optional on the part of the cameraman. There's nothing in here that even hints that a hunter can't take all the pictures in the world that he wants to take. But the thrust of this bill is to try to encourage a substantial practice of hunting with a camera. This certainly doesn't prohibit hunting with a gun. There's nothing even hints of it. But it's trying to establish, in addition to hunting with a gun, it's trying to establish hunting with a camera as a brand new exciting concept in Alaska. And eventually, incidentally, that's going to be very productive for guides as well. But the only way you're going to enforce it is to eliminate the guy who has harvested an animal during the year, because that's the only way you're going to ever know for sure that that he's really playing the game by the rules.
Mr. Specking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, I think the amendment is a good one. And one of the real problems, philosophically attuned to the bill, is the encouragement of the non-consumptive use of grant. But one of the real problems is that there are persons within the state, and particularly within the Department of Fish and Game, who have a unique advantage. Looked at some of the sales of pictures competing right along with guys like Runner Boudreau and Cecil Rowe and Mike Hirschberger and others. You'll find that some of the photography that's taken, particularly in the Arctic, walrus and forebear and that sort of thing.
Mr. Miller. Yeah.
Mr. Speaker, I would support and vote with.
We're on Mr. Ewing's amendment. Is that amendment number two, Madam Clerk? Oh, amendment number one, actually. Question is, shall amendment number one be adopted? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Amendment number one fails. The clerk have a second amendment.
Amendment number two by Mr. Eliason. Page 2, line 24. Add new material. H. This contest is limited to those persons who have established a permanent place of abode in Alaska.
Mr. Eliason.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent we adopt amendment number two.
Object.
Amendment number two. Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I think this is makes good sense that we encourage our local people to participate in this contest rather than outsiders. I think I, for one, would be very hesitant to mail a $10,000 check to somebody living in Hollywood because he happened to take a fish in Alaska on his vacation.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, if the picture is that good, and the picture might very well then be worth that much money. And of course, the winning entry will be will become the under the possession of the state, will be the property of the state for all time to come. Mr. Speaker, I don't think we can limit these things. I mean, if the thrust of all this is to establish sort of a new and very desirable dimension in non-harvesting, yet continuing use of the resource, I think we've got to make that attractive for outside hunters, camera hunters in this case, as well as for resident camera hunters. I would frankly very much like to see more outside hunters coming up here and hunting with a camera instead of a gun. I think it's nothing but good.
Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I don't think it's really going to work that way. I can't see anybody paying this amount of money to come to Alaska because he might win a contest. I think he's going to come anyway. I think the ones that are in Alaska who should develop this sport should be encouraged to go out. So I don't think we have to pay anybody to come to Alaska to take pictures.
Mr. Swanson. Any other discussion? Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I think we've got some fine photographers in Alaska already. I don't think we have to rig the thing in their favor.
Mr. Hershberger.
Mr. Speaker, I'm surprised that Mr. Miller, of all people, is not aware of the fact that any picture is worth 10,000 words, not dollars.
Mr. Bowman.
Mr. Speaker, the problem that I have, and I hate to cross my majority leader, is that generally, most of the people coming up from outside may be more in the nature of professional photographers, which would certainly put us somewhat at our local people at a disadvantage. And being an Alaskan advocate, I just have to go for this amendment. I just don't want to give those people outside any money. I just have to go for the amendment.
Wouldn't it be the same as not allowing them to take their trophies out of the state in big game? Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have to concur with the Speaker, I have to concur with the remarks of Mr. Bowman on the subject. I think the amendment is a good one, and I urge the House to adopt it.
Question is, shall amendment number two be adopted? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Amendment fails. excuse me, amendment's adopted. My ears are better than that. Clerk, read the fourth amendment.
It would be amendment number three.
Excuse me, amendment number three. We ruled one out of order.
Excuse me. Amendment number three by Hershberger. Page 1, line 16. Before photography, add and fish.
Mr. Hershberger. Objection is noted. Question is, shall amendment number 3 be adopted? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Amendment's adopted. Clerk, have other amendments.
Amendment number 4 by Mr. Miller and Mr. Specking. Page 2, line 23. Add, these regulations shall provide that photos taken by state employees on duty or travel status are not eligible for consideration under this act.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we, this body, adopt amendment number 5, is it?
It's 4.
4.
Objections noted. Clerk, read the amendment a second time.
Amendment number 4 by Mr. Miller and Mr. Specking. Page 2, line 23. Add, these regulations shall provide that photos taken by state employees on duty or travel status are not eligible for consideration under this act.
Any other discussion? Mr. Rhodes.
Other than that amendment, does that take in anybody that's under contract for the state to take photographs? Would they be eligible or not eligible?
I would think not. Mr. Urien.
Well, Mr. Speaker, with my amendment for the hunters, Mr. Miller said it would be a problem with enforcement, so you wouldn't know whether the person took the picture before or after he shot the animal. How are we going to enforce this? How are we going to know that that state employee took it while he was on that trip on state expense or when he went back next week at his own expense? How are we going to know?
Mr. Miller.
I suppose, Mr. Speaker, that somebody, if they want to go to enough trouble, will try to figure out some way to cheat at it, but I think that is not too likely. Probably you'll have some affidavit signing device, I imagine. And, as I say, people cheat on income taxes and everything else, so I suppose sooner or later somebody will try. But if a guy really values his job very much, I would think he'd be pretty hesitant about doing that. So I think it's the best solution available. It's probably not 100% foolproof, but I think it's the best alternative we've got.
Question is, shall amendment number 4 be adopted? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Amendment number 4 is adopted. Does the clerk have another amendment?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, read the 5th amendment.
Amendment number 5 by Mr. Duncan. Page 2, lines 4 and 5. Delete the words, and in the various National Conservation and Wildlife magazines, add period after state on line 4.
Mr. Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objections noted. Mr. Duncan.
The reason for the amendment seems to be very logical. We've just said that those who live outside the state who are not residents may not participate. There seems to be little sense in advertising in national magazines and expending state money to advertise a contest to those who are not eligible.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, may we be at ease?
House be at ease. House come to order. Mr. Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that my amendment be withdrawn.
Amendment number 5 is withdrawn. Mr. Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Duncan's action was at my request because I wanted to place another motion. I'd like to move, Mr. Speaker, that we rescind our action in adopting amendment number 3, was it, that limited this only to Alaskans. Mr. Speaker, I'd like for just to ask the group to rethink for a moment.
Number two.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask the group to rethink for a moment what we're doing, what the reasons for this bill is in the first place. We know that with increasing population in the state of Alaska and increasing air transport access, one thing or another, the state, the pressure on big game animals in particular in Alaska is really becoming perilous. More and more people are going out there shooting more and more game, which, of course, in the long run has the effect of making shorter and smaller seasons for all of us who do like to hunt. This bill has, I think, probably two great features to it. First of all, it would establish a national image of Alaska that this state is knows where it's at in the area of conservation, environmental concerns, one thing or another. In other words, it's showing that we don't just view animals as just something to shoot at and eat. Certainly, we don't object to people shooting and harvesting animals and eating them. We all do it ourselves. But that, in addition to that, the state of Alaska recognizes a beauty in animals, and wishes to encourage people not only within Alaska but all over the United States to come and appreciate the what we've got here in the way of fantastic wildlife resources. Bear in mind, Mr. Speaker, that nobody that comes up here and hunts with a camera ever takes anything out except a few rolls of film, and I think that's a fantastic provision in this bill. Nobody's going to go to Nunavak Island and shoot up a whole bunch of muskox and leave nothing but a few carcass remains and take the hide out. All the animals stay there. He just goes out with a fantastic experience and some great pictures, and perhaps wins the contest. And I think all over the United States, just the existence of this contest would do much to convince environmentalists, conservationists, and one thing or another, that we are not what some rather hysterical elements in the country think we are, and that is, just a bunch of bloodthirsty people who are up here trying to shoot the last wolf on the tundra. We know we're not, but, the people down there don't know we're not. So, Mr. Speaker, for that reason, I think that the whole thrust of this thing is such that very definitely it should be a thing that's eligible, or people from all over the United States should be eligible to participate. I think it would be defeating one of the major purposes of the bill if we eliminated that feature.
Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I agree with most of the Majority Leader what he has said, but once again, Mr. Speaker, I when he's correct when he says these people leave the state and all they take is a few photographs, that's fine. I would like to keep it that way. I don't think they should be taking $10,000 out with them. But I think the thrust of this, Mr. Speaker, is to encourage those of us living in Alaska who are utilizing these game for other things rather than photography to go out and take pictures instead of shooting them. These people coming to Alaska are going to continue to come and take pictures. This is not going to make one bit of difference. And Mr. Speaker, merely says that we shall advertise in national magazines letting the people know we have this contest, but nowhere in this bill does it say that we're going to publish the pictures that are taken. It's just going to be local. So I don't think it's going to make any difference on the problem Mr. Miller was addressing himself to. I think they're going to come, and they're going to still continue and come in larger numbers.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, first of all, I'd like to talk about this $10,000 bit. We seem to be hung up on somebody in Florida or someplace else and went in and taken the $10,000. Okay, let's say worst comes to worst, an Alaska photographer doesn't win the contest next year, so the $10,000 goes outside. Several years back, the Department of Fish and Game tried by various formula and computer runs, one thing or another, to establish the monetary worth to Alaska of a brown bear wandering around the Alaska Peninsula or over on Admiralty Island or wherever. And they determined that brown bear, in monetary terms, was worth $2,000 to the state of Alaska. Now, if a photographer comes up here and shoots that brown bear, that $2,000 is still wandering around Admiralty Island. He's still wandering around the tundra someplace. Or in the case of a polar bear, he's still out there on the floes someplace. And he's still worth $2,000, next year and the year after that and the year after that. If a big game hunter comes up here and shoots that bear with a bang-bang gun, that $2,000 is wiped out that fast. It's just one time at bat only, and that's it. I think this $10,000, if it only encourages a few people to come up here to shoot with a camera instead of a rifle, will pay itself many times over. I don't have any great hang-up on somebody from out of state winning the contest. Now, suppose the person from out of state does win the contest. Mr. Speaker, I certainly can't speak for the editorial boards of magazines, but I can assure you just from a familiarization with the way it works, but I think that there would be an excellent chance that any number of these pictures would be the subject of spreads just every year in the magazines, because I think this is a really innovative and kind of an exciting concept. And I think that the public relations value for the state of Alaska could just be phenomenal, providing it is a national contest. True enough, if we limit it to Alaskans outside of the state of Alaska, people could, you know, could care less.
Mrs. Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, I've always been bothered to a large degree about by the mentality, the attitude of trophy hunters, people who are hunting for any reason other than subsistence. And that philosophy of mine perhaps goes against the grain with many members, but that is the way I've felt for a long time, that human beings, with every advantage their intellect has been able to devise, high-powered rifles and binoculars and everything else that they use, going out and hunting animals who are virtually defenseless against those kinds of weapons. And I see this bill as a really effective way of changing that mentality, so that a person who is still interested in some sort of trophy can have as their trophy that photograph and perhaps even that reward. And I think it's great that we may be changing that mentality in this state with this bill, and I think that we should extend the contest to people who may come in from out of state, so that hopefully we might change that mentality in those people as well.
Mr. Bowman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The problem is that the hunter coming up is coming up in regardless, and he's going to go for that trophy animal. The person coming up as a tourist is going to be taking pictures. And I still have that parochial sense of mine that says Alaska for Alaskans. And I would encourage any bill or amendment to anything that would disallow any type of hunting except for subsistence, and certainly to get tracked vehicles and things out, and if everybody more or less hunted on snowshoes and so forth, that's what stopped me. When I found out I had to carry that stuff on snowshoes, I soon ceased to become a hunter. And I think if we moved in that direction as far as hunting is concerned, but to address the amendment, I would like to see the Alaska provision stay in there and make it only eligible to those from Alaska.
Mr. Miller.
Speaking of, the statement's been made several times that these people are going to come up anyway and hunt with their guns instead of with the camera. I'll dispute that somewhat, Mr. Speaker. I think and truly feel that there is, across the country right now, certainly if the outdoor magazines are any indicator, and I believe they are, there's a great interest accelerating on the part of many hunters to hunt with a camera instead of a gun. And I think a lot of the same people who one time will go hunting in Africa with a rifle in their hand, the next time might go with with the gun in hand and leaving with the camera in hand and leaving the gun at home. The only gun in the party would be with the guide that's protecting the cameraman. And Mr. Speaker, I truly believe that this is the trend, and that's why this bill is valuable, that this recognizes this trend and capitalizes on it. I think there are a lot of people down south who, with the prospect of entering a contest like that, where the rewards are, you know, really noteworthy, I think they'll opt to come up here without their guns. They'll bring their cameras instead. And the net result over the long run is going to be that guides all across Alaska who are having tougher and tougher times because of various restrictions that has been necessary to place on them, all of a sudden a whole new market, I feel, is going to open up for them, where the animals have been, you know, fewer and harder to find. Under these circumstances, guides are going to be able to take their clients into national parks, for instance, where they can't hunt with a gun. It's just going to open up a whole new range of opportunities, and I think by leaving the outside people in this, it ends up being an industrial development bill, for guides, and can only result in a considerable infusion of dollars into the Alaska economy.
Mr. Greeney has been seeking the floor. Excuse me.
Mr. Speaker, I think the thrust of this is really to encourage in Alaska, and particularly in the Department of Fish and Game, non-consumptive uses of our wildlife. And I think this has been sadly lacking, is that we've looked at our wildlife only as a source of something to harvest. And I think that since the thrust is here in Alaska to encourage non-consumptive uses, that we shouldn't dilute it by extending it out beyond that. I think the problem is that we're still going to get the trophy hunter up here, and they'll still have what I think is probably the upper hand in terms of regulations until we develop in this state a group of people who can speak for the non-consumptive users. And I think this bill encourages that.
Mr. Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like Mrs. Sullivan to know that she's not alone in her feelings. Frankly, it always bothers me, and it has and it will, and I'm afraid continue to do so, when I hear people talk about an Alaskan brown bear as a $2,000 resource type thing. If I had my way, we wouldn't allow any trophy hunters to come into the state and take trophies out. My objection to the amendment is that I don't think we should be advertising this stuff nationwide and letting the prizes go out of the state. It's my feeling that what's going to happen is we let some guy in Florida win this $10,000 prize, and there's a great big hue and cry. And he's got a picture of a great big beautiful bull moose, and 100 more hunters out of Florida will decide to come to Alaska to shoot that moose.
We are in a motion to rescind. Question is, shall amendment number 2 be rescinded? Mr. Bowman, clerk, read the amendment.
Page 2, line 24, add new material, H. This contest is limited to those persons who have established a permanent place of abode in Alaska.
Any discussion? Question is, shall the House rescind its action in adopting amendment number 2? We'll have a roll call vote. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any members to change their vote? Mr. Osterbank. Mr. Parker. Any other member? The clerk may take the roll.
Eleven yeas, 23 nays, 6 excused.
The motion fails. We are constantly gaining in amendments up here, so. Incidentally, it wouldn't take much to change the title of the act just relating to wild law and prohibit the export of any big game trophy you're hunting out of Alaska if you really, really want to carry out your point. Mr. Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to have my amendment reread, resubmit my amendment.
You read Mr. Duncan's amendment number 5.
Amendment number 5 by Mr. Duncan. Page 2, lines 4 and 5. Delete the words, and in the various National Conservation and Wildlife magazines, add a period after state on line 4.
Mr. Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
There is no objection. Amendment's adopted. Incidentally, so to keep the members posted as to where we are, I do have a letter on my desk from our Free Conference Committee on the Budget asking for discharge. And we will lay that aside at this time until we have a chance to touch base with the other side. But evidently, we're going to do something of a first in this session. I can't ever recall a Free Conference Committee on the Budget being discharged prior to this time. Mr. Parker, House stand at ease. House come to order. We've gained even more amendments, including one to handle the big game provision. And it might be advisable this time to take a prolonged break and let everybody eat. Mr. Miller.
That was the call of the wild back there, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent. We stand in recess until 12:30.
Without objection. House come to order. Under discussion was Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 343, amended, and we were in the midst of numerous amendments. The clerk can inform us on which amendment we were.
We had just adopted amendment number 5, and we're now on amendment number 6.
Clerk, read amendment number 6.
Amendment number 6 by Mr. Smith. Page 1, lines 21 and 22. Delete each species of big game animal. Substitute various categories of wildlife.
Mr. Smith.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number 6.
There be no objection. The amendment's adopted. Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment number 7 by Mr. Hirschberger. Page 1, line 15. Change big game to wildlife and wherever found elsewhere, on page 1, line 22, and page 2, line 3.
Mr. Hirschberger.
Move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Objection. So does that duplicate the last amendment in any way?
I believe it does, Mr. Speaker, and it's an attempt to include wildlife instead of big game, because we moved big game in and off and up and down the list. And last year, there were two species added and one dropped. It might make it a little clearer for purposes of the contest.
There are different lines. Mr. Anderson.
Did clerk read that over again?
Clerk, read the amendment again.
Page 1, line 15. Change big game to wildlife and wherever found elsewhere. On page 1, line 22, and page 2, line 3.
Can we stand at these while we work out if these amendments are compatible with the last one?
Order.
Would the clerk reread the amendment as corrected?
Amendment number 7 by Mr. Hirschberger. Page 1, line 15, and page 2, line 3. Change big game to wildlife.
Mr. Hirschberger, would you move the amendment?
I'll move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Hearing no objection, the amendment's adopted. Does clerk have another amendment?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 8 by Mr. Duncan. Page 2, line 7. Delete the period after game. Add the following: and shall be submitted to the various national conservation and wildlife magazines for publication.
Mr. Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objection noted. Mr. Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, what I'm doing is I was very impressed with Mr. Miller's argument that we should make the rest of the nation aware that we have great species of various animals in Alaska. We have closed the contest to out-of-state residents. However, I don't think that should stop us or prevent us from allowing the pictures of these animals to be published in national magazines. And even though it may be done, we're just stipulating it in the bill.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I don't have any great objection to this. The only thing is we've kind of reduced this to an all-Alaska snapshot contest, and I don't think the national magazines are going to be that wild about it. As a matter of fact, without the impetus of a national contest with a really nice person everybody would be interested in, I don't think there's no sex appeal to it. There's no real news pizzazz, so I don't think the publication is going to be all that wild about publishing the pictures. They can, generally speaking, they can get, nice wildlife pictures themselves from time to time.
Question is, Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I was rather impressed with Representative Parr's reasoning along these lines. If we do have these photographs in these national publications, and maybe we might get a couple of photographers up here, we might get 10 hunters.
Mr. Bowman.
Mr. Speaker, I have no objection to it being an all-Alaska snapshot contest. The problem that I have with the amendment is, will we have to pay for this in these national magazines, or is it just a submittal?
Mr. Duncan?
Mr. Speaker, the intent of my amendment was that we would not have to pay for it, that we would submit it. If they want to publish, they publish. If they don't, they wouldn't. I would think in many cases that if we had a good picture of a large bear or whatever else we might be taking pictures of, that one of these wildlife magazines may be very happy to publish it.
Any other discussion? Question is, shall amendment number 8 be adopted? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Amendment fails. Clerk, read amendment number 9.
Amendment number 9 by Parr and Parker. Page 2, line 24, add a new section to read, transportation outside of the state of Alaska game or game parts is prohibited.
Mr. Parr, Mr. Parker.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objections noted. Mr. Parr.
This was touched on earlier, Mr. Speaker, during a debate. I think there must be a number of us here who would just as soon not have the outside hunters come in and take away our trophies.
Mr. Specking.
Dollars that will no longer flow in when we adopt that attitude.
Clerk, read amendment.
Page 2, line 24, add a new section to read, transportation outside the state of Alaska game or game parts is prohibited.
Mr. Hirschberger.
Mr. Speaker, I think it is in fact a federal law, and they recognize the fact that on federal lands where there are big game animals, these animals do belong to everybody. And I don't know whether this is a constitutional law or not. I don't believe we can keep a person from coming up here and hunting and not and prohibit him from transporting out of this state properly sealed skulls and hides or other animal parts.
Mr. Specking. Mr. Brown, House Town of Ease. Come to order. Before us is Mr. Parr's amendment number 9. Is there any further discussion? Mr. Urien.
If this amendment was adopted, would that mean that various ivory carvings done by Native people couldn't be bought and taken outside, or maybe things that are made out of animal antlers couldn't be transported outside the state?
Any further discussion?
No, that isn't what it means at all.
Question is, shall amendment number 9 be adopted? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Amendment number 9 fails. Clerk, have any other amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Regretfully, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 343 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 343 is advanced to second or third reading, placed in final passage. Will the clerk read the bill for the third and final time?
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 343, amended by the House, by Croft, an act relating to wildlife photography.
Bill is before you for discussion and debate. Mr. Brown.
Speaker, I have a very strong objection to this bill. It is that when the committee report was bicycled by me for my signature, I had to fold a pair of aces in order to sign it.
What committees was this bill to?
Resources and Finance.
Question is, shall sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 343 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may take the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
28 yeas, 3 nays, 7 excused.
Bill has passed the House. Mr. Specking. Hearing no objection, Mr. Eliason is excused. Brings us, I believe, to the end of the daily calendar. Unfinished business. Is there anything to come before the House in unfinished business?
We had 113 amended put to the bottom.
Be at ease, Mr. Speaker.
House, stand at ease. House, come to order. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent. We revert to messages from the other house.
Without objection, does the clerk have messages from the other house?
The Senate has adopted the report of the Free Conference Committee considering the Potter Point State Game Refuge, thus adopting Free Conference Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 259. The Senate has concurred in the House amendments to Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 46, Teachers Retirement System, thus adopting House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 46. The Senate has concurred in the House amendment to Senate Bill number 317, Supplemental Appropriation, Department of Public Works, thus adopting House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 317. The Senate has concurred in the House amendment to Senate Bill number 384 amended, Corrective Amendments in Alaska Statutes, thus adopting House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 384 amended by the House. The Senate has concurred in the House amendments to Senate Bill number 361, Healthcare Liability Insurance, thus adopting Senate Bill number 361 amended by the House. The President has appointed the following members to a conference committee with powers of free conference to meet with a like committee from the House to consider committee substitute for Senate Bill number 61 and committee substitute for Senate Bill number 61 amended in the House, Vehicle Licensing. Senator Kurtula, Chairman, Senator Rader, Senator Tillian. The President has appointed the following members to a conference committee with powers of free conference to meet with a like committee from the House to consider committee substitute for House Bill number 237 and Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill number 237, Mediation and Divorce Actions. Senator Ziegler, Chairman, Senator Rohde, Senator Miller. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent. We revert to special committee reports.
Without objection, with special committee reports. Clerk have special committee reports.
The conference, this has been duplicated and put on everybody's desk. The conference committee with powers of free conference, which has had committee substitute for House Bill 237 and Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 237, Mediation and Divorce Actions under consideration, recommends that the House and Senate adopt Senate CS for House CS for House Bill 237 amended by the Free Conference Committee with a new title, an act relating to mediation and divorce actions and expanding a litigant's right of peremptory challenge under Alaska Civil Rule 42C. The amendment adds a new section to read, Section 3. Section 2B of this act has the effect of expanding a litigant's right of peremptory challenge under Alaska Civil Rule 42C by allowing a party the right to challenge a mediator whose functions under prior law in part parallel those of a superior court judge, in addition to the challenges already provided under such rule. Signed by the Senate members, Ziegler, Rohde, and Miller. House members, Bradner, Brown, and Gardner.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move that this body concur in the amendments of the pre-conference committee, which would have the effect of adopting Senate committee substitute for House committee substitute for House Bill 237 amended by the pre-conference committee.
Question is, shall the House concur in the Free Conference Committee report for committee substitute for House Bill 237? We'll take a roll call vote because there's a Supreme Court section involved. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may close the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 4 excused.
Free Conference Committee report has been adopted.
May we be these, Mr. Speaker?
To be absolutely sure, we have somewhat of an oddity in this Free Conference Committee report in the sense that we have inserted language specifically adding amendment to Supreme Court rule. And when we deal with bills that have just passed the House, we must take two separate votes. The procedure is somewhat unclear as what happens when you insert one of these into a Free Conference Committee report. So to be absolutely sure, we're going to move separately on that particular section also. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll just move that the vote on House Bill 237 be considered the vote on the Section 3, the change of the Supreme Court rule.
Hearing no objection, so ordered. Does the clerk have other special committee reports?
No, Mr. Speaker.
brings us back to unfinished business. Mr. Miller, can we stand at ease for a moment? House coming to order. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 113 be returned to rules.
That objection, so ordered. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that we revert to messages
for committee.
Committee reports.
That objection will return to committee reports.
The Committee on Finances had Senate Bill 266, transferring those functions of the Department of Revenue relating to motor vehicles to the Department of Public Safety with an effective date, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Naughton, Malone, Buckhold, Duncan, Itta, Haugen, and Cooper. Senate Bill 266 has no further referral.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move that this body stand in recess until 3:30.
That objection, recess till 3:30. House coming to order. Were we going to revert to messages?
I have no messages.
You have no messages?
Nothing.
Mr. Miller.
I'll move that we revert to a certification of the journal.
That objection, we revert to certification of the journal.
On pages 1556 and 1557 under the joint session, make the following correction regarding the confirmation of Francis M. Flavin. Francis M. Flavin was appointed to the office of ombudsman, not confirmed as reflected in the journal. Change all references to his confirmation to appointment. Delete the paragraph following the vote total of both houses and insert, and so Francis M. Flavin was appointed to the office of ombudsman and his name will be submitted to the governor pursuant to AS 2455-20B. With this correction, I certify as to the correction of the journal for the 133rd day.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified, as corrected and certified by the chief clerk.
Without objection, so ordered, and the journal stand corrected. This brings us back to unfinished business. The plan of the leadership is to adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. In the meantime, the leadership of the House and the Senate, together with the budget conferees, is going to be meeting, attempting to review some of the conflicts which begin basically at the beginning of the university budget and affect only that budget plus the capital budget, which has not been substantially reviewed by the conferees. An attempt to see if we can give the conferees some kind of direction in resolving the disputes before them. I suppose at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, we will know rather precisely whether those conferees either will have already gone back to work or will be able to go back to work. And I would suppose there would be no other choice before us in the morning. We would either know the facts or know that we have to appoint new conferees to an attempt to resolve the dispute. And of course, when you do appoint new conferees, they are free conferees, and I suppose the whole budget is open at that time. Is there any, Mr. Miller?
Speaker, if there's no further announcements, I'll move and ask unanimous consent this body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Without objection. 10 a.m.